Hello. It's good to be here. Good to know. I was thankful as I was walking in that the music was still playing. I don't know that I've done this double preaching on a Sunday here at TPA. I've preached here a few times, but usually it's just been I've been off at my church and here. About a month ago, I did this over at the E-Free Church. And it works out really well for all of you and for them because our service starts at 10. And so I arrange things in my service and preach early and throw everybody off. It means that partway through my sermon, people are walking in and going, oh no, am I late? What's going on? And then I finish up and I head over here or over to the E-Free or wherever it might be. I look forward to the day where I get to switch things around for another church and preach early here and go over there or that kind of thing. I've also thought about the idea of perhaps starting up a spreadsheet. For this reason, we have Pastor Rob, Pastor James, Pastor Joel, a number of different members of the ministerial, and we preach for each other, and we help each other out. And I got a text from Rob saying, hey, would you mind preaching? And there was this little hint of you owe me one in that message, I think. And I'm not totally sure that I do owe him one, to be honest. I'm not convinced that that's the truth. Okay, I trust him. I believe that. But I think it might be good to have that spreadsheet and just say, okay, I've preached there. That means they need to preach here or vice versa or that sort of thing. I think as far as I can tell, at this point, I'm free and clear. But I don't know. I'll probably see you again sometime. I also thought that it might have been nice seeing Rob and Amelie's pictures from their trip that maybe I should have gone on vacation with them and he could have just stayed and preached. But that didn't happen either. So. Let me tell you a little bit about what's been happening at my church at Zion Baptist over the summer. We've been engaged in this sermon series, and you see it up on the slide, Disciples Blank. And it's not that we're leaving that deliberately blank, we're actually filling in the blank over the weeks. We've been taking time to look at the different things that everyday ordinary people, actually everyone on earth, different rhythms that people engage in. The stuff that people on earth do. And we've been looking at how we as disciples, as followers of Jesus, should be engaging in that everyday stuff of life in different ways. How we should be seeing how the gospel of Jesus transforms the way we approach these different everyday things of life. And so we need reminders. We need continual reminders that the church is not a building, that the church is not an event that we go to, but that the church is the people of God saved by the person and work of Jesus Christ for his purposes in the world. We're saved and we're disciples of Jesus. And I've been using this as a definition of a disciple. What I've been talking about is that a disciple is someone who is increasingly worshiping Jesus in all of life, being changed by Jesus, and obeying Jesus' commands. So we are increasingly worshiping Jesus, not just in different aspects of our lives, but in everything that we're doing. We're being changed by him. We're obeying his commands. And then we recognize that as disciples, we are involved in discipleship. And those two terms, disciple and discipleship, you might, if you've been involved in church for a while, you probably have all sorts of ideas about what that means and what it's all about. Well, that's why I've got this definition. So a disciple is someone who's increasingly worshiping Jesus in those ways. And disciples are involved in discipleship, leading others to increasingly submit all of life to the empowering presence and lordship of Jesus Christ. So we want people who already know Jesus, who are already disciples of Jesus, to be increasingly submitted to him. But we also trust that there's people in our city, in our neighborhoods, in our communities who don't yet know Jesus, who we can introduce to him and help them to become disciples, help them to worship Jesus in all of life, to submit their lives to his lordship and to his presence. And that all of life aspect is really important. Based on our understanding of who God is, what he has done in this world, we don't believe, well, I guess I better say I don't believe, but I think as we look at Scripture, we see that there isn't a divide. There isn't the sacred, the church life, and the rest of our lives. We see that following Jesus, being his disciple, is all of our lives. It's everything that we are. We don't look and say, well, this is my church life over here, so I'll do these things, and I'll be involved on Sunday morning and maybe in a Bible study or some different things on a Tuesday or Wednesday or whenever it might be. But over here is my finances and my job and my work and my family and this sort of thing. We bring that all together, and we recognize that Jesus impacts absolutely every part of our lives. The gospel changes how we live every part of our lives. So that, at least, is what should be happening. And so we've been looking at Zion at different things. We've been exploring this idea of disciples, and we've looked at a number of different ones. And I know my notes, because this was I preached this earlier in the summer. I'll see if I can fill in some of the blanks that won't necessarily show up on the screen. But we looked up at, first off, the idea that disciples are story formed. And what I mean by that is every person on earth is formed by story. We are people who engage in story. And we get our understanding of who we are, the meaning of life, what this world is all about through story. God has given us his story. He's given us the good news of the gospel, the story of Jesus. And so we seek to be formed by that story. And we have this tendency sometimes to pick and choose. Oh, I like this part of the story. I like these verses, or I like this book. But what I mean by being story formed is we are formed by the big picture overall story of God. Stories frame how we understand our lives. And the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is the story that brings meaning and significance to all of life. We need to know the story. We need to understand that big picture story of God, not our favorite verses, not our favorite books, but the big picture, how it all fits together. We need to know that so that we'll come to understand God better, understand his nature, who he is, what he's done, how he's at work in our lives. We also, at Zion, let me see if I can get these. So we are story formed. Today we're going to be looking at the fact that we listen, disciples listen, and we'll unpack that a little bit. But we also looked at the fact that disciples celebrate. So this was a funny one because we're Baptists over at Zion. We don't always have the reputation of being really good at celebrating or partying. And so I got to say to my church, hey, as disciples of Jesus, we should party. And they all went, Sounds like a good idea. Yay. But the idea that God brings the better celebration, there are things in this world that we can celebrate. We looked at how disciples bless. So we are blessed to be a blessing, and we look for ways to bless people around us in tangible, practical ways. We look at how disciples eat. We eat together. And as we eat, we recognize that we are relying on God. And I apologize if I'm way off script right now and that sort of thing. I'll get back in a little bit. But just this idea that we eat together, we recognize that taking in food is actually recognizing that God has provided for us, that he gives us what we need. But we also recognize that eating together invites others into the community of God and gives them an idea of what his kingdom, what his community is like. So all of these things, but this morning, I want to introduce something by telling you about a question that trended on Google a little while ago, and I already gave you a little heads up about the idea that disciples listen, but a while ago, there was a question on Google, and the question was really simple. It was this: are birds getting louder? Are birds getting louder? Now, I might change this right now because in my neighborhood, a bunch of squirrels have moved in. And so I might ask and say, hey, have the squirrels been getting louder? And those squirrels, they were having fun yesterday because they were throwing pine cones into my neighbor's swimming pool and this sort of thing. I think they were just celebrating as God's creatures. But this idea, a few years ago, it trended. Are birds getting louder? People are looking around and wondering if birds are getting louder. And there are mornings where I'm convinced it is true. The birds in my neighborhood are louder and they're waking me up earlier and earlier. But why would this question trend on Google for a while? Well, you have to ask, when was this question asked? And as you look at it, this was a question that was asked back in May of 2020. And if you think back, what was happening in May of 2020? Well, we were in the midst of a pandemic, right? And you might remember driving downtown and not seeing many people around. And lots of activities had shut down for a while. And so people were starting to wonder, are the birds louder? I think they're louder than they were a year ago. Why would that be? Well, the very simple answer is the birds weren't getting louder. Everything else was quieter, right? Everything else had slowed down, had quieted. And the truth is that birds are singing whether we notice them or not. But here's the connection. God is speaking to us whether we notice him or not. And we need to learn how to listen to his voice, which brings us to this idea that disciples listen. Followers of Jesus, we set aside regular time to listen to God, just as Jesus listened to God in prayer in order to know his Father's will. And we can unpack this because we look at how disciples listen to God. But there's another sermon where we look at the idea that disciples listen to one another and listen to others around them. But this morning, disciples of Jesus take time to slow down to listen to God, just as Jesus listened to his Father in prayer. And you can find examples of this all through Scripture. But today, our attention is drawn to Luke 5, verses 15 and 16. So Luke 5, 15 and 16 says this, "Yet the news about him, about Jesus, spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." Now, Jesus didn't wait until he had time to stop and listen to God the Father. He made it a practice, I think a regular, everyday kind of thing, to take time to pray to his Father. He would pray to the Father, and I wonder, what would it have been like to sit with Jesus and to hear his prayers? I wonder if he took time to pray to hear comfort and direction from the Father. He was wanting to hear words of truth and reminders that he was doing the Father's will. He would take time to listen. He would take time to watch, to see what his Father was up to, and then do the business, the work of his Father. He would pray, he would listen, so he would know what his Father was wanting him to be doing. And we need to follow the example of Jesus. We need to take time to pray, to talk with and to listen to God. And we see as well, and this is where, if there was more time, we could unpack that, but we also take time to listen to one another. But these aspects of listening to God, listening to one another, they're important enough to focus just on the listening to God. Maybe I'll come back sometime and we'll talk about listening to one another. But this idea of listening to his Father's voice, that Jesus would listen to his Father's voice in order to know his Father's purposes and plans. And if Jesus had to listen to his Father, how much more do we have to engage in that idea of listening to the Father? And so our story that we are formed by encourages us to listen to the Father. But one of the stories that our culture tells us, a story that we're in danger of being formed by, is that we need to be constantly moving from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next, and never stopping and pausing to actually think through what we've been experiencing, what's going on in our lives. Learning to slow down and listen helps us to pause and to reflect on what God has done in us and through us, in our lives, through our lives, and it helps us to discover what God has in mind for us in the future. So actually slowing down and listening. And in one sense, listening is really, really easy to do. In fact, all of you are listening right now, and I'm not deluded enough to think that you're all listening to me. We listen to all sorts of different things at all sorts of times. Even now, as I'm preaching, you're listening to other things. Some of you are going, oh, my phone just buzzed. I wonder what that notification is. I better check that because it might be really important. I need to check that. Sorry if I'm calling anyone out right now. Some of us are listening to other voices, other noises that we hear. And those might be external noises. They might be internal voices that we're hearing and getting distracted by. Some of you are listening to a voice right now that's saying, Brad is wrong. He's getting mixed up, and I'm going to talk with him later and say, you know, you need to be thinking on this. We listen to all sorts of voices all of the time. Sometimes we listen to the lies of the evil one as he tries to distract us from the truth of God and his gospel. Sometimes we listen to the lies that our culture tells us instead of listening to the truth of the story that we are meant to be formed by. And so we need to learn how to listen to our Heavenly Father. It isn't something that just happens in our lives. Wouldn't that be great if once you put your faith and your trust in Jesus and you're a disciple of him, all of a sudden you're able to listen to God with no problems, no distractions? Well, no, it's something we learn to do. We need to learn once in a while to just shut up and listen. And some of you might be hearing a voice and going, I can't believe he told us to shut up. But this truth of just being quiet before the Father, hearing from him, so that we can get to know him better. Engaging in that practice, not just of talking to him, but listening to him. Disciples listened to God, and Jesus modeled this for us. Jesus would often withdraw to those lonely places and pray. And as we learn to listen to God, we start very simply by asking him to give us ears to hear what he is saying. We listen to the Spirit. We do what our Father is doing. We want to be able to say like Jesus, very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. So we look to the example of Jesus, who looked to his Father and did what his Father was doing. If you want to listen to God, you need to ask the Spirit to help you to listen. And so, Ben, I know you prayed earlier, but I'm going to just pray now that we would continue, Father God, to listen to your voice and learn how to do that well in order to become more obedient to Jesus, to turn over lordship of our lives more and more to him. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We need to pray. We need to make our petitions, our requests made known to God. But sometimes that's where we stop. We think of all the things I need to bring to God, all the things I want to ask him to be doing in my life. And those are all good things. We're encouraged to do that. We're commanded to do that. But we also pray by listening. Listening and writing down and dreaming about what God has in mind for us, what he wants us to be doing. We need to train ourselves in how to listen to God's voice well, how to hear God's voice, how to tune out the things that distract us from his voice. We need to go against the story our world tells us. We need to set aside time to listen to God, slow down. For many of us, learning to listen to God, it means actually deliberately cutting something out of our schedules, right? It means saying, hey, this might be a good thing to be doing, but it's better to pause and to take time to listen to God. Maybe you need to get rid of some of the other stuff that you listen to. Maybe you need to schedule a specific time of the day where you say, this is the time where I'm going to pause and seek to listen to God. Maybe you don't just need a specific time, but you need a specific place. And that can be challenging for some. You live in a place where there's not a lot of space. Maybe there's a big family or there's just a crowded rooms and that sort of thing. I know of one family where they had I think there was four kids and it was like a three-bedroom place and this sort of thing. And so where do you go for quiet and solitude to listen? Well, they set up a chair and they said, this easy chair here in the corner, if someone's sitting there, you don't talk to them. They're trying to pray. They're trying to listen. They're trying to hear from God. And so they found ways to make that work in their context. Some of us, maybe most of us, need to take our phones, our tablets, those things that distract us and put them in another room or just shut them off for a while. I often remind people, your phone actually has a power switch. You can turn it off for a while and the world will carry on, even if they can't get in touch with you for a few days or few hours, whatever it might be, a few days, that might really throw you. The key is being consistent, choosing a time and place where you are best able to listen to God. And the best way to listen to God's voice, this is where you see crossover and all these rhythms that I've been talking about. Disciples are story formed, disciples listen, and so the best way, I believe, to listen to God's voice is to read his word, is to know his story. So we take time to read God's word. And I encourage people to ask four basic questions. And they're here. Ask questions as you read a section of scripture. Ask who is God and what has he done? And then you ask, who are we and what are we to do? In light of who God is and what he has done, how should we live? And read a section of scripture and see what jumps out at you. What insights would you not have come up with on your own? Or maybe there's an insight that keeps coming up again and again and again. You go, oh, maybe I should pay attention to that. What is affirmed as you read? Write down what you hear. You can even, this is a very simple grid, take a piece of paper and put four sections in there. Say, hey, who is God? What has he done? So very, very simple. Who is God? Well, God loves us. How do we know? What has he done to show that he loves us? Well, he sent his one and only son, not to condemn us, but to save us. So who are we? We are dearly loved sons and daughters of God. How do we live? Well, we go and we love others in that same way. So it's a very simple process where we can seek to listen to God. And you can read God's word. You can write down what you think God is saying to you, and you can ask some questions like, does what I think I'm hearing line up with the big story of God? Does it line up with God's word? Does it sound like Jesus? Does it sound like who he is and what he would do? Does it lead you to more of the fruit of the Spirit? Does what you think you hear God telling you to do lead to more patience, to more self-control, to those things in your life? Will listening to this, what I think God is saying to me, actually make me more like Jesus? That's probably a good thing to pursue and to follow. And there's another important crucial step that we miss out on way too often, because our story in our culture also tells us that we should be individuals and we should be able to do our own thing. But we need to take this step, and we actually need to tell someone else what we're hearing from God. Take time to stop and say, hey, you know, I think God has been speaking this to me. As I've been seeking to listen to him, this is what he's telling. And if you recognize this, sometimes you go to someone and say, hey, you know what? I was reading God's word and he told me this. And someone stops and goes, actually, no. Does that really line up with what God has revealed of himself in his word? Or maybe they still say, actually, Brad, you have no idea who you are, do you? That doesn't seem to line up with what God has already been doing in your life. Here's what I actually see God saying. And we hold each other accountable, and we see how we can help each other listen to God. Foundation to all of this, if you want to listen to God, then you actually have to believe that God still speaks. You actually have to believe that he'll speak to you in a way that you can listen. And we know that he does. In John 10, he declares that Jesus declares that he is the good shepherd, and that his sheep know him and they know his voice. If you actually know someone's voice, you can actually hear it, right? You can understand it. You can listen to it. He has promised that the Spirit of God will help us and will counsel us. He promises that he will be with his followers till when? Till the very end of the age, and really into eternity. And so we learn to recognize his voice. We learn to discern between God and all the other voices that clamor for our attention. We get to know him through his word. The very, very best way, I believe, to understand his character, and actually even better, is to look at his word and look at the character and the person of Jesus, who is God himself in human flesh. How will you know if you're hearing God's word if you have nothing to check it against? That's where you need to check it against the other parts in his word, and help each other to check what you're hearing, what you're listening to. Our faith is personal, but it's never private. We should be encouraging each other as we seek to follow Jesus. So we need groups of people that will test us as we seek to listen. And we can also remember, and I'm encouraged by this, God meets us where we are at. He'll often speak to us in ways that we are used to. For some of us, that might be through a dream or a vision. It might be through nature. It might be through words on a page. It might be through the advice and input of a friend. What we understand is that God wants to speak to us, but he doesn't want you to have primarily a relationship with your Bible. He wants the words of the Bible, his word, to direct you to a deeper relationship with him, into more intimate communion with him. God knows you, God loves you, God sees you, and God has things to say to you. And so we need to engage in this regular rhythm of talking to our Father, not just speaking to him, but listening to him, perhaps even learning to delight in simply being in his presence. Now, we need to learn to listen to God. And it's wonderful, this wonderful truth that God meets us where we are at, which I think we recognize learning to listen to God, it's a process. We don't start right at the very top. Hey, 10 out of 10, you're listening to God well. We learn how to do that. We take time to do that. We're free to question. We're free to experiment. I think we're even free to fail and to admit, hey, I didn't do that well. I didn't listen to God well. But there's this reality about preaching and about teaching and how people process, how people learn. It's not always great to stand up here and tell you stuff, to preach or to lecture or to teach in that way. Best way to learn something is to actually practice it, right? To try it, to do that. And so what we've got these four questions up on the screen again. And what I'm going to do is lead us in a very simple listening exercise. I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to read 6 verses. And what I would encourage you to do is just listen. If you want, you can turn in your Bibles there, or if you want, you can just listen. It won't be up on the screen, but I'm going to read this. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to pause for a time of silence. It won't be a really, really long time, but for some of us, it'll feel like forever because we're not used to necessarily having long times of silence in a group of people like this. But there will be this time for silence where you can think on these questions. Who is God? What has he done? Who are we? What do we do? So after that time of silence, I'll read the passage again. give us some more opportunity to reflect on that. And then I'm going to really put you on the spot. And I know it's a big room, and so you'll have to maybe shout it out a little bit, and I'll say these things back. But what I'd love to do is hear from you some of the things that you are hearing from God as we read from Ephesians chapter 1. So can we try that? Let me read, and then I'll give you that time of silence, and then I'll read it again, and then I'd love to hear from you. So Ephesians chapter 1 tells us this. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. Let's listen for a little while. And let me read that again. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. Let's take a few more moments of silence. Father, help us now as we continue to listen to you through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, putting you all on the spot. Anyone hearing anything from those verses?
Chosen.
We are chosen, yeah.
Adopted.
Adopted, yeah, we are adopted as sons and daughters.
Obedience.
Pardon me?
Obedience,
yeah.
Predestiny,
yeah.
Holy.
Grace
blessed.
And blessed, yeah.
Peace.
God
finds pleasure in blessing us.
Yeah. 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 God finds pleasure in blessing us. He chose us to be holy and blameless. And what it was in accordance with his pleasure and will. Yeah.
Forgiveness,
yeah. Yeah, we are chosen, but we are forgiven. Yeah.
God the Father who loves Jesus, and in him we get all the blessing of that.
Yeah. Yeah, God the Father loves Jesus the Son, and we get all the benefit, all the blessing of that. One of my favorite, this idea that we are predestined for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. I love the idea that, and this is where the story forms us. Jesus, at his baptism, the Father looks down and he says, this is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. But we have that same adoption as sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. And so when we have put our faith and our trust in Jesus, when we believe the truth of his story, of his gospel, God the Father looks at us and says, you are my son, you are my daughter, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. And he throws aside all the stuff that doesn't please him, and he sees all the stuff of Jesus. That's the story that we are formed in. And praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in that way. In all the heavenly realms, not just here on earth, but in his kingdom, in all the heavenly realms. We seek to listen to God, which goes against the story that our culture tells us. We're supposed to be busy. We're supposed to be doing stuff all the time. That was the final thing that we looked at Zion this morning, is disciples recreate. We rest and we create. We go against the story of our culture. And part of that resting is taking time to listen to our Father in prayer. Let me pray now, and then Ben, I'll have you come on up as well. Father, thank you again for this morning. Thank you that you are a God who actually speaks to us. And I pray for anyone here who is doubting that reality, who is wondering about that truth. I pray that your Spirit would bring encouragement and counsel and wisdom. And that through this week ahead, each one of us would find some ways to pause and to listen, perhaps in ways that we don't normally pause and listen. Father, I recognize that the summer is coming to an end, and the month of September is right around the corner. And for many of us, that means return to work, return to school, return to the regular routines of life. I pray that in the midst of those regular, everyday things of life, we would be listening to you, that we would be taking time to stop and put aside distractions so that we could hear you through your word and hear you through prayer and hear you from the voices of other disciples, other followers of Jesus. Thank you for this morning. Thank you that we can pray to you. We can listen to you. Thank you that you are a God who has promised to speak to your kids. Thank you for that. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.